In Colorado, you can legally gamble in Black Hawk, Central City, Cripple Creek, and licensed online sports betting. Protect our communities. Learn more at PlayLegitCO.com. A message from the Colorado Division of Gaming. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit VoicesOfWrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Welcome, everybody, to Wednesday War Games episode number 55. I'm joined by my co-host Liam Jones. Liam, every week we talk about AEW Dynamite and WWE NXT. Which was show of the week?
It was AEW.
Match of the week?
Young Bucks versus Top Flight.
Imagine if we literally just ended it right here.
Would be a tremendous bit.
Literally upload a 30-second podcast.
All right, so you can follow Garrett at Garrett Kidney. You can follow me at Larry. Follow the account at War Games Pod.
If you would like more AEW podcast coverage in your podcasting feed, you can listen to Everything Elite. If you'd like more WWE television show coverage in your podcasting feed, this is just where Liam says, why would you want WWE television show coverage in your podcasting feed? And I'm like, because Jeff does a great job. You can listen to Shake Them Ropes. Thanks for listening and welcome to the show. Liam, how are you doing?
Bye. Oh. Yeah. Adequate.
Adequate is a decent state of being. It's better than bad. Not as good as good.
It's like the purgatory of being. People talk a lot of shit about purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's better than some of the alternatives.
Like being tortured in hell endlessly?
Yeah, like, I'm sure it's boring. But like, actually, no. Garrett, here's my question.
Fire away.
Would you rather be tortured in hell for eternity, or would you rather be in purgatory for eternity?
It depends what purgatory consists of.
It's a big white room, and there is seats.
Comfy seats, or just adequate seats?
Yeah, middle of the road seats.
I take purgatory.
They are those wooden benches.
You can use the most valuable thing, Liam. You don't need things. You have your imagination.
Oh, you've already gone crazy. You're not even in purgatory, and you've gone crazy.
How long, legitimately, do you think an endless purgatory would take for you to go crazy?
I mean, at that point, time doesn't even exist, so immediately.
Mm-hmm. You're just slowly, quickly losing your mind? Probably quickly losing your mind. Because the things you'd have to invent in your mind just to get to a like decent state of being.
Well, do you get to gallivant around with other people in purgatory?
Well, that's a question, isn't it? Or is it your own little contained purgatory?
Do you have to, like... Do you get food, but it's all, like, very middling food?
Yeah.
Is the only drink just water?
Yeah.
Do you get to live in houses, or do you just sit on a bench all day?
Just the bench. You also sleep on the bench, which is...
Do you sleep?
I don't know. Sleep is a sleeper. It depends what your relationship with sleep is, I guess, whether or not that's a rewarding activity.
In every depiction of purgatory I've ever seen, mm-hmm. It's always been, like, very bright.
What are you basing this on?
I don't know.
What depictions of purgatory have you seen?
I can't name them. I can name what they looked like, and it was just a big white room.
The only depiction of purgatory that comes to mind for me is the one from The Good Place, which is just a house in the middle of nowhere.
I was going for, like, the more classical, like, it's a waiting bay, essentially.
So it's just, like, a big white void with a bench.
Yeah. With, like, that's the question. It's a big DMV.
Uh-huh.
And people just keep coming in.
Do you have to stand in line?
Once a millennia, someone leaves.
How do they get out? What's the process?
That's above my pay grade, mate.
Nah, you're not the ideas guy here.
I'm just like, I'm not making those decisions. That's a very important decision for whatever deities are in charge.
Speaking of purgatory, every week we review WWE. That was a good segue. No. You ruined you a good think... segue. Let it was me, a perfectly
I
good segue to the purgatory that is stuck watching this stupid NXT show long after
upon.
It was good, and we're stuck here forever reviewing the show until the end of time. Go, expand on your thought.
I was going to say, do you reckon, like, Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, and the big G-Man, do you reckon they, like, draft people from purgatory?
This is a, of course, this is where your brain would go. It's like, I would like to be a god solely so I can do drafting from purgatory.
Yeah, but like, do you go, all right, I want Steve Lemon because he had a puppy and he treated it nice, so I'm going to draft him.
But like, the draft wouldn't really work though, would it? Because like, God and old D-Man would want two very different sets of people, so that it's not like they'd be competing over anybody.
I think they just want the best of the best.
But like, but no, hell people want the worst of the worst.
No, they don't.
Yeah,
they
just want the...
No, you fool. Like, there's plenty of good people who have... Like, I'm acting like it's real.
Liam knows he's going to hell, okay?
There's plenty of good people in hell, alright? Hell is just a place where if you've done some bad... Like, let's be real, if we're going to take in the literal sense, if you've done one bad thing in your life and you don't repent, you've gone to hell.
Would you like to repent right now, Liam? Bless me, never. Father, for I have sinned.
Is this... I don't know if I can do a confession over the internet.
It has been approximately 16 years since my last confession, give or take.
Oh yeah, you got that Irish, like, Catholic guilt.
Which naturally comes with the territory, yeah.
I was gonna say, that's like the realist version.
I'm a fully communed and confirmed Catholic. I'm going to heaven. I got in the door.
I got baptized in grade one for free stuff, so I'm going, baby.
Yeah, I've been baptized. I've been confirmed. I've had first Holy Communion. God clearly loves me. I haven't seen him since, mind you, but...
I got Yu-Gi-Oh cards for my baptism.
When did you get baptized?
Grade one, as soon as I found out that they were going to give me free stuff.
But what age is grade one and you're...
7?
You get baptized at 7?
You can get baptized at any age.
I know, but like, why do you wait until you're 7?
Well, because I didn't care about it, and I did it to purely for personal gain.
Oh, God will strike you down.
Nah, he has to like smite me. That's the rules. That's the rules.
Because, yeah, I was probably baptized when I was, like, 6 months old or whatever.
Wow.
Long. Like, again, getting in the door with Big G-Man very early, just in case.
I don't think that he really cares that much.
But I am a man of his faith, despite never practicing his faith.
I went to a Lutheran school for 11 years.
Did you learn all about Big God?
Yep, made me into a staunch non-believer.
Oh, you're the rebellious questioning authority kind of one, aren't you?
I mean, I don't think I know... I know, like, 3 people that left that schooling system believing in God.
You're like one of those people, if God's real, why is there war?
If God's real, why do people starve? Checkmate.
Because those people have not, they have sinned against the world. They have not been good enough believers, obviously, Liam.
Those children.
Have not followed the faith of the Lord God and our Savior Jesus Christ.
Is this conversation going to, like, annoy people?
I tried to do a wonderful segue onto talking about AEW and NXT, and then you're like, Jesus, man, what's going on with him?
Jesus, man.
So every week,
No, this will go into it, it's fine.
About AEW, faithless fool, talk about AEW and NXT.
In the DMs, we were talking about how, like, this podcast structure was completely destroyed by the fact that one of the shows was so clearly worse than the other.
Hey, comeback is any day now. NXT is gonna be good again.
But it's like, we didn't, like, calculate that possibility at any point. We're just like, yeah, they'll be about the same level the whole time.
NXT has been winning more in recent months than it did before recent
months. Yeah, but it's so clearly, like, comparing, I don't know, some, like, local mum and pop shop to, like, a corporation. You know what I mean? Like, one just feels like a big deal and the other doesn't at all.
That is your bias. Your bias is coming through and it is...
It's not my bias.
It's rooting your objective observations on NXT.
We have 54 polls that are in my side.
Yeah, there was that one, though.
that Impact one?
No, the Christmas one that NXT actually won.
Wow. See, clearly they can only win all the Christmas episodes.
Yeah, we're coming up on it. NXT's big moment. Right, actually, no. I'm going to lobby. Hello, listeners. I'm Garrett.
This is bias!
Your podcast. on the Christmas episode of NXT.
This is literally bias.
I would like you to vote for NXT in the poll. I don't care what the shows are like. I don't care what the difference between the shows are like.
This is bullshit. This is some shit.
Please, on the Christmas episode, vote for NXT.
Roughly 7 minutes after saying I was biased.
I am campaigning for NXT. I think they deserve this one. They worked hard for it.
This is literal voter fraud.
Your voter fraud.
Oh, damn, I have been owned thoroughly.
Owned in every way one can be owned. Every week we talk about AEW Dynamite and WWE NXT. AEW won last week, so we shall talk about AEW Dynamite this week, which opened with the Young Bucks against Top Flight in Liam's match of the week, as we already revealed in the intro.
Wow.
Liam, talk about it.
This was a Bucks fun TV match that we used to be able to rave about when AEW was but a twinkle in our eyes before they decided that every one of their matches needed to be roughly 3 minutes too long.
Every single Young Bucks television match should be exactly this, 8 minutes and 45 seconds. It should be exactly 8 minutes and 45 seconds every single time, Young Bucks. That's the new edict. You should stick by this.
They did a bunch of cool moves. They made Top Flight look really good, I thought.
Mm-hmm. And I thought Top Flight looked good, really good on their own merit as well.
Yeah, but I'm also saying, like, they gave them the opportunity to. They could have eaten them up, let's be real.
You know what it actually reminded me of? Because I've been skimming through the Young Bucks book. It reminded me of the Young Bucks TV matches with the Guns in TNA.
I think that was probably, like, pretty purposeful.
Yeah, it's the same match. The Young Bucks are in the Guns role. Top Flight are in the Young Bucks role. This is the future. Maybe Top Flight will be the team that we kind of always hope Private Party would be, but it still hasn't really happened.
See, that's what I'm curious if, like, long-term that becomes, like, the rivalry. If, like, I assume AEW are trying to sign them or have already, right? Like,
you don't give them this match against the Young Bucks unless they're signed, right?
You don't Ben Carter this shit again, right?
But even Ben Carter only got as far as the fake Dynamite that was on, like, hours off after the basketball.
But it was clear that they wanted the dude, and they were starting something with him before they even signed them. So I'm hoping they don't make that mistake, and they actually get these guys under contract.
Yeah, you'd hope they've learned their lesson, and they do not give people competitive matches against the Young Bucks without yet signing a contract.
It would be really cool to see Private Party and Top Flight, like, kind of mirror each other, and kind of take that, like, Young Gun tag team rivalry role.
And be like the generational rivalry of our, what's the name of this company? AEW.
But yeah, I don't think we've seen something like that in a while. Because there's really never been that opportunity. Because the one company that could really do it doesn't care about that. I guess you kind of get it in New Japan. Sorry.
A Private Party are really the only newish tag team, the only unestablished tag team really in AEW right now, aren't they? Am I missing anybody?
As far as, like, young teams?
Yeah, as far as, like, a new team who are really getting exposure for the first time.
The Acclaimed? Is that what they're called?
But they're still dark. They haven't been promoted yet. They don't count. Though they have been signed, so I guess they do count. But still.
That's why I said them.
They have yet to feature in Dynamite. They don't count. They're still on Dark, where I don't have to realize they exist.
I don't think there's anyone else. Like, Private Party were really that role for the first year of AEW. And, like, hopefully, like, you know, Top Flight signing and Top Flight getting a position like this kind of makes Private Party go, oh, shit, maybe we gotta step up our game a little bit to make sure that we don't get overtaken by this new young hotness.
Yeah. Competition's always good for everybody.
Mm.
You're not the de facto good young team anymore.
Exactly. Like, you're gonna have to. You know, I think I'm a little higher on Private Party than you have been.
Especially
recently.
Inconsistent on Private Party. I think I will admit I've soured more on Private Party than I used to.
Yeah, but
they don't really excite me anymore.
That's fair, I think. But I know it's weird. Like, they have so many people in this tag division, but the fact that they only ever do, like, one tag feud kind of sours it a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like these, like both of these teams should be working like programs with the Lucha Bros, because that's where they get better, or programs with Santana Ortiz, because that's where they get better. But all those
Santana
teams
Ortiz
just...
have been completely mismanaged, right?
Oh, it's so like we're gonna talk about the Hangover skits, but when Santana and Ortiz were just doing goofy comedy again and the freaking dopey 11-year-old movie skits, I'm just like, please, please do something with them,
like. Like, I know you don't watch Dark, but at the very least, you could be running, like, stories on Dark, you know what I mean? Like, not every match has to be a squash. You could be doing a feud on Dark with Santana Ortiz and Private Party, or with Santana Ortiz and Top Flight now, you know? Like, they don't just have to have matches with people.
Yeah. They're like, oh God, they're like, as I said, when I saw that segment, they're just doing goofs. And I'm just like, God
damn
it.
He did cocaine.
And Conan was there. He should have slapped him back into shape.
No, he just got high as fuck.
He should not have been able to recognize what his old proteges have become in this AEW.
What have they become?
They're truly the Judas in their mind. Let's move on to that, because it's next. The first of... Was there two? It was two,
was
wasn't
two.
It? Two Vegas scenes where they did some Hangover skits.
Yeah, I didn't mind these. I thought they were entertaining enough, but... I didn't need a second one. Like, I feel like you could have condensed it all into one segment. I thought it was alright, you know? It was better than some of the other skits that they've done. The Conan cameo and the Elvis cameo and Elvis joining the Inner Circle. There were some fun bits in it. It was, I started doing, like, a bit of dishes. I started doing the dishes while watching this segment, and it was a good background for that, so...
Well, there you go. I like, I'm not offended by it, but I didn't think it was particularly funny or interesting either. It was television.
It is funny that, like, they're like, oh yeah, you know what? What's the most relevant thing we can reference?
It's like full Vince McMahon just being like, Vince, completely out of touch. You're referencing movies years after they happened because he probably caught them on cable or something. It's like The Hangover, that's it.
And like, the thing is, you really couldn't have done some sort of Tyson thing. Considering
he was in The Hangover. Yeah, god damn it.
I think that was, like, most people watching this, that was their expected payoff to this. Was they were going to at least reference some Tyson stuff with Jericho.
At least gotten a tiger. You got a Swoggle cameo. What more do you want?
And, yeah, there was a couple of fun moments, but nothing crazy, you know what I mean?
It wasn't even particularly, like, character revelatory either. It was just skits.
Yeah. That's the thing. I don't think it's meant to be telling you too much about. I think the thing that we're trying to get across here is that MJF does actually like the Inner Circle guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the point that's trying to. And that Sammy legitimately hates him.
Good. Team Sammy.
Yeah. It was aight, you know.
John Moxley cut a promo in which he revealed that Renee is pregnant. But we will not mention this promo. Yes, we will move on.
How dare he?
We will respect their privacy. Orange Cassidy defeated Kip Sabian in an interminably long match.
This was so long.
I was like, why is this match still going?
And like, the thing about it is, like, I can't remember a single thing from it either.
No, I really can't. The only thing I remember was Miro getting very mad at him putting his foot in the rope. That's the only thing I remember from this match.
And then Miro came in and hit a hell of a clothesline and killed Orange Cassidy.
My favorite part of the foot in the rope bit was like, JR being like, Tony, we gotta remember this. You know what to do with this, right, Tony? Because, like, obviously Miro will put his foot in the rope in the future and they'll go, what a hypocrite. Bah! But JR literally in real time being like, oh, we gotta remember this, Tony. Don't forget this.
Maybe the payoff tag will be fun.
Keeping, like, for the entirety of all of these freaking not inner circle, all these best friends and Miro skits, it's like, maybe the next thing they do will be good.
The Trent match was good,
I guess.
Man, I just like it more when they talk about gaming.
They should play each other in Fortnite.
They play Warzone, Garrett.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
They should reveal Miro and Kip Sabian's votes for the Game Awards.
Oh, I hope they get votes, yeah. They should be part of the jury.
AEW should get a vote. AEW Games.
What do you think Miro and Kip Sabian would vote for in Game of the Year? It'd probably be like, no, Among Us wasn't even out this year. It was out in 2018.
Yeah, well, I would say right now, Orange Cassidy would vote for Hades.
Yes, it is Game of the Year. That is the official Wednesday War Games Game of the Year.
I don't think you get to make the decision. Fine.
What would be your game of the year right now, Liam? Is it like...
I don't know the nominees.
We don't obey the Game Awards nominees. You can pick whatever you want.
Game of the year. What came out this year? What have I played? It'd be Ghost of Tsushima, probably.
Boring open world games.
Mm-hmm. I think Kip and Miro would just vote for Warzone, even though that game didn't come out this year. I think they just assume it did.
No, they feel like Animal Crossing voters to me.
Nah, they're too dude bro-ies.
I don't know, I think Kip secretly has a very fancy Animal Crossing island.
You know, I believe that, but Miro definitely only plays first person shooters.
Miro has an Animal Crossing person who is dressed in Gucci.
That would rule, though.
Their entire house is Bulgarian-based.
Well, this is a really good review of this match.
Listen, this review has probably gone on as long as this match.
Yeah.
Tony did a contract signing with Kenny Omega, but John Moxley had been attacked.
This was lame. This was bad.
A couple of notes. First, Kenny Omega has in fact added he is a Wrestling Observer Hall of Famer to his entrance.
Mm-hmm. As he should.
The match is now being billed as Winter is Coming, the Game of Thrones reference, which is apparently being officially licensed from Warner Media. I'm like, okay.
I mean, it's cool, I guess. Do what you do.
But again, like, that's the Game of Thrones catchphrase from like 6 years ago, you know?
I don't watch Game of Thrones, so I don't know.
It would be one. It's like it's the a Hangover.
Cool show name.
Well, it's still called AEW Dynamite. It's a tagline for a show. It's not a show name.
I thought they were calling the actual show Winter is Coming.
Were they? I thought it was more like, oh, the Winter is Coming episode of Dynamite, but that's still a Dynamite. It's not.
Well, yeah, but it's like the same way they call it, like, you know, that was the Blood and Guts episode of Dynamite.
Yeah, but those ones are branded as Bash at the Beach, but I think this one is just AEW Dynamite, Winter is Coming. It's just like a slogan.
I don't know. It's you know, it's a classic Dynamite fake pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's a cool name.
Do. Just get up on your cultural references. That's all I'm saying.
Is Kenneth going to use a, like, come out in a big, like, suit of armor or some shit?
He's going to dress as the Night King.
I know what that is.
You watched like 4 episodes of Game of Thrones or something, didn't you?
I watched 1 episode of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, weren't you meant to watch it with your roommate or something at one stage?
Yeah, and then they didn't watch whatever I told them to watch. So I was like, fuck you.
We had the second Vegas skit.
It was worse than the first.
Sure was. Which brought us into Pac defeating the Blade.
I just wanted to say that I thought the Kenny Omega John Moxley segment was like really bad looking and came off really low rent.
Why?
It was the Mox stuff. It was the backstage, like, oh, we have an altercation. It just looked really bad to me.
I'm currently playing SmackDown 2 for a video review that will go up tomorrow because it's the 20th anniversary of the game. It'll actually go up before this podcast. So by the time you listen to this podcast, you can go to youtube.com/GarrettKidney and watch my retrospective of SmackDown 2. But the stories load in that game is like half of it is just like so and so randomly attacked backstage. Do 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 do. Michael Cole shrugs. That's basically what this segment was.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I thought it was kind of shitty. But that's it, I guess. I guess it was because I was kind of excited to see them both cut promos on each other, and then it was just like, haha, nope. The best part about it was Kenny's pen not working.
Who attacked him, Liam?
It was Kenny Omega. It was Kota Ibushi.
Whoa! Forbidden Door!
Wait, who's... It was Kenta.
Jay White.
No, because Kenta's the one facing Mox.
It was Bushi.
He put Mox's head through the briefcase.
Yeah. Pac defeated the Blade, even. The other one, Baldy.
They're both kind of bald.
Another good showing for the Blade this week. After the freaking whatchamacallit, Bunkhouse match last week.
Yeah. Shoutouts to him for, like, having another match, like, the week after.
Yeah.
Because he bled buckets.
Probably, maybe, could have been given a week off.
I mean, you could have at least... They must not trust the Butcher in a singles match. Because it's always the Blade.
But he did the match against Mox.
I did. I take it all back.
So the Butcher is clearly the world title contender that they want to protect, as opposed to the Blade, who is disposable.
Always dispose of your blades properly.
That's true. You should do that.
Never dispose of your butchers.
That's true. You need meat. Good match, I thought. Solid match.
I thought it was, you know, it's a little boring. Yeah, like, I don't know. I really liked a lot of the angles and stuff in this show, but the matches just were kind of meh besides the Young Bucks tag.
Speaking of angles, after the match, the Butcher of the Blade and Kingston beat up Pac before the Lucha Bros made the save and Death Triangle is back together.
I also thought this was kind of bad.
I thought that, like, and it's funny that they do, like, they did the same segment twice, but in reverse, because you're like, Penta came out, he was at the chair, he was going to attack them, no, he saved the Death Triangle, and then in the main event, Will Hobbs comes out, he has the chair, no, he turns, it's like, it's the same angle, just a different outcome.
I think this kind of, like, stunk, because he didn't actually hit anyone with the chair, which made it look, like, super awkward. And I thought it was a real interesting decision to do these two big turns in front of, like, the taped, tired, less people crowd. Like, why would you probably could have just saved these until you had the fresh crowd the next week.
And again, not done both of them on the same show in pretty much the exact same way.
I don't necessarily mind that, but it's, you know, you got to have a crowd that's hot for it.
A bit of variety. You know, look at your booking sheet and go, oh, wait, we booked the same angle twice.
No. Cody booked the main, Kenny booked this. Backstage turmoil.
Jade Cargill attacked Brandy.
This is stupid. This is really bad.
You really don't like this show, do you, Liam?
Oh, these... It just comes across as so low rent.
Mr. Liam, I like the angles on the show. Liam, what do you think of these angles on the show? They're so bad.
Okay, there was... It was a bad run of two in a row, right? I thought, like... Jade's stomp looked like complete shit. I thought Vicky, like, palming off the refs, like, ooh, don't come through, ooh, also looked like complete shit. I don't know, man. I'm trying.
All right, we'll go to something that I thought, we'll move on. Serena Deeb and Thunder Rosa, I thought they had a good match, even though
I
thought
this match.
Yeah, there we
it
go.
It was good.
This, you see, this is where I point to, where people are like, women's division, you can't do it. And, like, these two had a really good match. Now, imagine if you gave people a reason to care about them having a really good match. That's the next step, and it's really not that hard.
Thunder Rosa went up and mean-mugged her at the pay-per-view.
Yes, that is the... But that's the extent of the character development of all of these women. They just face off, they have their match, they all move on. They did nothing deeper.
I did like the Rosa Britt stuff, though, and I'm actually excited for that match, which is cool. And it got a reaction.
I was about to say, I think that post-match pull-apart was the best women's angle in AEW history.
Well, the crowd certainly would agree with you. They were actually fired up for it, which I thought was cool.
It felt like something, for the first time in their women's division, which they have just given no attention to whatsoever, it felt like something that had a bit of juice. It's just, it's not just you wrestle, you move on, you get in the face of you, move on, you attack, you to set up, you move on. It's like, no, this is actually an angle. It felt a little hot, even though I thought the run-in spot was kind of sucked during the match. But anyway.
It's also not for the title.
Which is always nice.
But also, what are they doing with Sheeta?
That's true. You can't have, but you can't have two women's segments on the same show, Liam. It's not allowed.
She's your women's champion. I think what we all know what happened is, unfortunately, they put all of their eggs in the Joshi basket, and then a worldwide pandemic stopped them from getting all of the Joshi wrestlers.
But you see, I would accept that if all those character development problems didn't also exist in the first days of Dynamite. They probably had better matches, but they still didn't flesh out the division.
Although, you are right because of the whole, why am I blanking? Riho... Who did Riho face on the first show?
Was it Emi Sakura?
Yeah. Where, like, they had that first, which was, like, a really good match, actually. I really enjoyed that. But, like, they had a story there and they just chose not to tell it.
Yeah. They're, like, there are other stories on the show. And, like, it always seems like it's the women's matches that that happens to. If it happened to once in a blue moon, you know, it's like not every pay-per-view is going to have this big home run angle, but none of these pay-per-views have any big home run angle. And that stage, you're just like, you're not even trying.
I was going to say, I guess the only one ever that got close was probably the first Sheeta and Nyla match.
Yeah.
When they had the no DQ match, which was like the second best match on that show too. Mm. So it can happen. It can work.
Just try to do it. That's all we're looking for.
Maybe. I'm just hoping that, you know, when they do enter this third hour, like big quotation marks, that like they can dedicate more than another 15 minutes to the women.
They won't.
Maybe we just need one of like the women to get really over, and then they'll start focusing on it.
But the problem is, none of them are being pushed enough to get really over. It would be a complete fluke.
Well, maybe this Thunder Rosa-Britt Baker feud will be the start of it.
Maybe it will be. And, like, Britt is the shining example of someone they actually put time into character development, and then she does an angle like this, and the crowd responds to it.
I was gonna say, because Britt actually is over. Because they let her talk every week.
Yeah! It's not hard!
Or maybe, Garrett, the person who will save this division will be Anna Jay.
I'm reading this, and I don't remember this segment.
Do you not?
No.
I do. It was John Silver was kind of just hyping up Anna Jay as Sheeta's opponent because Brody Lee forced Tony Khan to make the title match. And
in the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club Slab Pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it, and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy video lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived. And really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy video lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition. 1 second, door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
And John Silver is like a little weird pervert guy who like screams now.
I don't remember it at all. Like, legitimately, no memory of it happening.
Yeah.
Am I just blacking out? Is that what's happening here?
Were you falling asleep?
Might have been a good chance. Was I doing something while watching this show? I don't remember. Main event! Brian Cage and Ricky Starks.
Next week.
Do we have next week? What is next week?
Next week, we have Hikaru Shida versus Anna Jay for the AEW Women's Championship. Pac and Rey Fénix teaming up against The Butcher and The Blade, not getting a week off again. Will Hobbs is going to wrestle, and Chris Jericho and Jake Hager versus SCU in probably your main event.
Oy. Speaking of tag team main events, Brian Cage and Ricky Starks defeated Darby Allin and Cody Rhodes in a perfectly acceptable, forgettable
match. Yeah, this was a decent little match that had a cool finish.
The Avalanche. Well, that's a wild finish to break out for a TV tag, by the way.
I was going to say, if you're going to do it, you could at least do it in the Darby singles match.
I suppose if they're doing the Darby singles match, Darby is probably winning, so you might as well break it out in the TV tag.
I guess, yeah. The match is kind of nothing. I guess like the real talking point is the angle after, which, you know, as we said, Darby was very rude for not letting Will Hobbs actually think about his answer, and it came back to bite him in the ass.
I would have liked some more development in the weeks between about that.
I think they wanted the shock, though.
But shock value is bad in wrestling. It usually just leads to short-handed storytelling.
Sure, but I will give them credit. I thought this angle was really good. The thing that's like problem with these turn angles is normally the person just waits around too long to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like Hobbs held the belt up, Cody went up to him, and he immediately swung it around and laid him out. So I thought that was really good. I like Team Taz, especially with Will Hobbs on the team.
Yeah, I thought it was well executed, but I do think like that segment where Darby didn't let him answer was like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
You know? And the steps between then, I don't think I've actually felt like it was even like teasing this.
I was going to say, no, like it was purely like to do the swerve, because every other interaction they've had, Hobbs was just legitimately saving Darby.
Yeah, so I don't like things. That's Vince Russo shite, just doing it to do the swerve. People are shocked, bro, because, you know, it doesn't really make sense. That's the reason people are shocked.
Like you said, execution was well of maybe a fumbled walk there, you know what I mean?
But yeah, that's a cool stable.
Yeah.
I hope they don't do the same thing they've done with them for the last two pay-per-view cycles, where they have feuds that don't go anywhere. Hopefully this is the actual moment Team Taz is the thing that's actually doing something meaningful on this show.
Okay, this is weird, right? Because I assumed they were going to go with Cage Darby.
Mm-hmm.
But now it feels more like they're going to go with Cody Cage.
Yeah.
But then they had Cage pin Darby.
Yeah. But then you had Hobbs do the turn, so is it Cody and Hobbs?
Maybe. But like, I felt like you were going to do Starks Darby this whole time. I thought that was going to be like, they're going to get like a big TNT title main event or something.
No, they got a TV match a while back. That's it.
I guess, but I, you know, it still feels like that's where they were going.
It does. Like, the team Taz stuff, I like them as a group. I think Taz has cut good promos, but the actual, like, their presence on the show has been just so scatterbrained. It's like,
yeah,
it just zigzags all over the place with no payoffs.
They need to be more concise with where they're going with it a little bit.
Mm.
It's just a little out there throwing stuff against the wall, I think. Like, how do you think they were planning this Hobbs turn the whole time?
Like, they did lay that seed for it where he didn't answer Darby like 2 months ago. So I think that was this. Like, I don't think they did anything in between then to continue to build to it. But they did lay that seed 2 months ago. They
actively did the opposite.
Yeah. 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 I don't know.
I don't know. But it annoys me that we have to have these kind of discussions about AEW. Because I wish it was just a concise company that made sense.
Yeah.
Because that's like, literally... That was literally... The lowest bar I had for this company was, can it make sense, please?
And, like, the problem is, it makes usually, like, 75% sense. You know, it nearly gets there, but it's that little bit that it's the bits that don't make sense that are just really, like, kind of irksome. It's like, yeah. God, like, just put the little pieces together and it all clicks into place if you just put a little more time and thought into it.
That's what was said the whole time. If you just took, like, the tiniest bit of extra thought and put it into each segment, it'd be so much better. Instead of just like, alright, here's the idea, let's do that idea. It's like, no, maybe we take an hour, we think about that idea a bit more, and we work out the different levels to it.
Yeah. Because
wrestling is allowed to have multiple levels. It doesn't need to just be the basic idea.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. We have, we've been saying this for a while now, but it's like, we have such a low barometer for what's good storytelling in wrestling.
We
can
do.
Hold it to the same standards of other mediums.
Like, still to this day, people are in awe of psychology of, like, he worked the arm, the finish,
exactly.
Had the arm being hurt.
We have, like, whole subsects of Twitter that, like, orgasm every time someone works a knee.
Yeah.
And then it's actually sold properly. Because... there's so many times where things like that are just overlooked. It's like, I get why, I guess, because, you know, it's different people. It's hard to hold. There's a lower standard of entry, you know what I mean, for the performers, I guess. Like, an actor generally has to be a pretty good actor to be in some sort of, like, major film. But, like, a regular athletic dude can end up in a major company. I suppose then again, that's the jobs of the road agents. That's the jobs of the people backstage. That's your Arn Andersons and your Dean Malenkos. They should be making up for those young talents who don't know those kind of things.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's wrestling's such a weird business.
And it, like when you consider how much wrestling is made and how much of it is actively not very good, it kind of blows your mind.
Has it always been this way? And we just like had different perspectives?
Maybe? I don't know.
Like, were there, like, mid-20s dudes as, like, perplexed by the state of wrestling 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Well, 10 years ago, definitely there was. 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Probably was. And we're all like, just connect those little dots. It's not that hard. Just try a little harder here. It'll work out. It'll all be better.
I'm sure there was some early 2000s forum posts saying the exact same things.
Yeah. That's Dynamite. A show I think we kind of shat on, even though I don't think it was actually a particularly bad show.
Yeah, I was gonna say, this is like the NXT special, whereas like we kind of shit on it, but I was kind of like pretty into it. Although there was a lot of times where I thought this show dragged and was pretty boring. There was a lot of times where I was looking at my phone.
Maybe that's why I forgot the Anna Jay segment. NXT opened with Leon Ruff.
I was going to say, a show that I actually thought was pretty good.
I thought it was an above average episode of NXT. Which opened with Leon Ruff against Johnny Gargano, which I hated the finish of, but they redeemed
Leon
later
Ruff's
in the show.
Leon Ruff's real good, though, isn't he?
He is. He's great. Which is just push him. Get rid of the nonsense.
Well, I think in their weird roundabout NXT way, they are. I could see it paying off well, especially if they do the triple threat. And what I kind of think is going to happen is like Priest lays out Gargano, then Leon will like throw him out the ring and pin Gargano, and we'll start getting like. He's more... Because I think they did a good job of making Leon more serious on this episode.
I zigzagged a lot because, like, this I didn't like at all. Because the thing... What really annoyed me about the finish of this match was that... Because if, in case people didn't watch NXT, because I believe our listeners don't watch NXT, the finish was Damian Priest pulled Leon Ruff out of the ring, punched Leon Ruff so that Ruff would get disqualified or... Yeah, Gargano would get disqualified and Ruff would retain the championship. But the commentary were like, and it's another great night of celebration for Leon Ruff, even though he just got his ass kicked.
You can't hold commentary against the wrestlers. You know what I mean?
That's like, true.
Commentary in WWE has always been trash and always will be.
But he's produced this thing. And then, like, later in the show, when they had the backstage pre-tape, where, like, Damian Priest was being kind of condescending and a jerk, and Ruff stood up to him, I was like, oh. And then later in the show again, when they had the segment where Ruff, like, cartoonishly did a series of, like, Home Alone reversals to get the better of Damian Priest and Johnny Gargano.
I thought that was good, because, like, Leon is a smaller dude. He's not going to go in there and just knock them both out. Like, it makes sense for how he wrestles for him to be avoiding the two bigger dudes and throwing them into each other. And I also think it makes a lot of sense when they both turn their attention to him and slide in that he makes his escape then. Because why would he stand there and just get beat up by the two dudes who are more accomplished, higher level, and will beat him up?
I would agree if when he came to the ring, he didn't do the, like, oh, gee, shucks, I'm looking face to face with Damian Priest, I'm about to shit my pants look in his face. I'm like, no, at least show fire. Give me fire.
I think he did show enough fire. Mm. Especially when he was going through that, like, taking everyone out stage, and then he was about to dive on them before they did the both look at him thing. I think it made sense for the people telling the story. If it was, like, just, you know, a regular 6'2" jacked dude baby face, then yeah, I'd be more like, go in there and actually fight it off. But, like, that's exactly how he should handle that situation.
Alright.
Like I said, my whole, like, end opinions on this whole story will be based on where they go and what they do at War Games if they do the triple threat, which Leon should win.
I'm trying to think of how he wins in a way that NXT will find palatable.
It's Priest doing his big move to Gargano, then Leon Ruff kicking him out of the ring and pinning him.
Nah, that sucks, though. That's bad.
Or, like, he'll do his big move, and then Leon will do some dive and hit both of them, and then pin Gargano.
Both those are bad.
I mean, I think it's the natural story.
I don't like it.
Like, I think eventually you start making Leon more credible, but, like, he's still not a super credible dude. That's gonna take time. You can't just flip the switch in one night. I think you also got to have him start beating dudes who aren't Gargano or Priest.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they'll start doing that until after the triple threat.
But, like, who do they have him beat?
Well, if he's an established champion, you can have him start beating just, you know, dopes.
Cameron
nerds.
Grimes.
Cameron Grimes, your Bronson Reed, you know, your 2 week push guys.
Ah, yes. The classics.
Mm.
But yes, he looked really good in this opening match. He looked great.
Yeah. He looked good in the last match, too.
Mm. Cameron Grimes, strutting backstage, very confident about his ability to defeat a face-covered Dexter Lumis. Bless him.
Straight to the moon, baby.
Poor anybody that shows any amount of comic time in that company is just cursed. You should never do it. Never let them know you're funny. Like, just never do it. You're doomed.
Every time I see him, I'm just like, what if he just had, like, you know, the wrestling guy gimmick, and he was just beating dudes?
I was watching, there was an anniversary of a four-way in TNA. It was a 2016 match between Lashley, Mike Bennett, Trevor Lee, and EC3. And there was a period in that match where he just went nuts, throwing forearms, doing dives over the post onto Lashley and Bennett, doing, like, deadlift Germans, and looking like the kind of star that everyone knows he can be if anybody actually pushed them that way. And I got so frustrated watching it. It's like, why doesn't any of these companies push him like this? Because he can do it.
Yeah. Like, the only company that ever, like, really did it was PWG.
Yeah.
And even they were like, you know, shit off, get off the pot, man. Like, because they teased it every single time. And then the only time where they were like, all right, he got signed.
Speaking of him, him against Dexter Lumis in a blindfold match went to a no contest.
It was an angle. It wasn't a match.
Yeah, they quickly removed their blindfolds, brawled around ringside after a ref bump.
I was a big fan of Grimes just kicking the shit out of the ref.
Understandably. Zombie ref. Hates him. Even blindfolded, he knows he hates him as a zombie. He can sense it. He can smell the zombie.
I hated how, like, Dexter Lumis, like, he punched him with the mask on, and then fucking, is it Vic Joseph? Yeah. Vic Joseph was like, that sixth sense of Dexter Lumis. I was like, shut up. Shut the fuck up.
He has superpowers, Liam. It's canon.
I hate it. Like, and I was liking Dexter Lumis too. I was really enjoying his presentation at NXT. But this is stupid.
When he was just a creep, but they can't have creeps who aren't supernatural in this company. It's very strange.
Mm.
They had a big brawl around ringside. Maybe they'll have just a big, silly street fight brawl where they beat the hell out of each other. That would be fun. Do that.
At a Christmas street fight.
The Nightmare on 76th Street fight,
yep,
Christmas.
That's Nightmare at Full Sail. I actually had one more point about the Leona Ruff title reign.
Go on.
Is this the first time where they've gone this hard on the jobber gets the upset win story? Because, like, the North American title still does feel like a pretty big deal in NXT. You know, most of the time it's been top guys who have won that belt. Is this the most committed to that story that they've ever been?
In NXT history or WWE history?
In WWE history. Because even in, like, WWE, like, there are times, like, you know, they did the Santino stuff with the IC, and they did it with, like, Colin Delaney. But, like, that was on the B show, and that was for, like, enough. That was in a place where, like, the titles don't mean shit.
And Colin Delaney never won anything.
Yeah, but, like, he got the upset win, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, like, it was for nothing.
The Santino one, like, is the only other one that comes to mind that they did actually go into a, like, meaningful title run with somebody.
Yeah, but it still feels like the North American title feels like a bigger deal than the IC title did at the same time.
Back then, like, you had Umaga as champion. Umaga, Jeff Hardy, that's a decent level of star.
I suppose that's true. But, you know, it felt like titles were accessories there.
True.
To, like, actual stars, while... like, North American title, I give it enough credit that it, you know, it's been held by, what, Cole, Gargano, Priest, whoever, like, the other big names. Gargano. Is there one more? Ricochet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, like, you know, it's a high caliber of champion there, I feel. I don't know, I feel it's not even, like, admirable or anything, but it's just, like, they committed to it, at least.
Shotzi Blackheart had a vignette, which I didn't like for a single reason. I actually thought it was a well-produced vignette. But the only reason I didn't like it is because they announced War Games here. And yeah. I'm like, why not save that for the cool moment at the end of the show where William Regal dramatically says War Games?
Mm. Well, no, because this is for the women.
But, like, just do this next week. Just, like it really took the air out of the blue. Like, what else is William Regal going to do? It ruined that moment for me because I'm just like, it's obviously War Games.
Yeah, the thing is, though, is, like, they hadn't even announced War Games at that point.
Yeah, this was the announcement of War Games.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, you could have legitimately had the match announced before the show, which means it makes sense instead of just, this is the War Games pay-per-view.
And, like, but just put this now on next week. There was nothing on this show that really required this to be on the show this week. Just put it on the show next week.
You could have done it in the final segment.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought the moment where William Regal dramatically was like, War Game. Oh, like, that's a cool moment. You ruined it by already announcing War Games.
Oh, God. Yeah, like, I don't know.
Typical NXT.
They're going to do 2 War Games matches in front of, like, 10 people.
Yes. Though, to be fair, I believe, legally speaking... destroying a foreign entity's tank is an act of war, and thus War Games is required.
But it was 2 people from the same country. If anything, isn't in that just...
But they're 2 different sovereign entities. That's all that matters. Don't you poke holes in this.
Wouldn't it be, like, more of a traitor thing?
Did I not just tell Domestic you not to terrorism. Poke holes in this? Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell defeated Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro in the classic...
You Caden Carter and Casey Gonzalo were like, oh man, they're probably going to get a women's tag team title match.
Nope, they got the 2-week push.
They didn't even get that.
No. They won to lose. It's this classic NXT mid-card women's match where jobbers lose to stars. You've seen it a million times. You won't remember it at all immediately after
Indy
watching
must
the show.
Be very happy to be on the other side of it for once.
Yeah, she's a pushed entity. She's probably going to be in War Games. So there you go.
Well, can you do a big War Games like William Regal?
War Games.
There we go. This is the show you come to for impressions.
Huas, I believe it's pronounced. Sorry. That's how they say it. It's not my fault. It's very strange. They don't pronounce the or. It's a J for some reason.
Huas,
yes. He had a vignette hyping him up, but then he didn't get an entrance for his match against Kushida and then lost his match against Kushida.
It was very funny.
I'm like, what are we doing? Why?
And then he got hurt.
And he got hurt, yeah, so he's injured. So it was a bad night for him, returning from Raw Underground.
Where he was, like, actually pretty cool.
Yeah, but I found it weird. It's like, oh, they gave him a little feature. They're actually going to push him. And then he didn't get an entrance and he lost. And I'm like, well, I guess not.
I like Uwas.
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 Uwas. This is the rest of this show.
More like Uwas.
Mackenzie Mitchell interviewed Tony Storm and Ember Moon about facing Raquel and Dakota Kai. They were like, we're going to fight. Grr. We're titles there, but we're still friends. Or, well, associates, I guess. Maybe not friends. Are they friends?
Didn't
are they
make friends much sense. Well, yeah, there was never any establishment that they are friends. Because, like, Tony was friends with Shotzi. She's in the wrong feud.
That led us into Tony Storm and Ember Moon defeating Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez.
Yep.
Perfectly fine match.
It was okay. Three women's matches on this show. Hmm? It can happen.
It's allowed.
They are allowed to do it.
Tim Thatcher defeated August Gray in a nice little fun little squash.
They
competitive squash
set up as well.
Well, people arrived. Yeah. Pat McAfee and co showed up to the building.
I meant like for the women. Like,
oh yes, yes, yes. You had Candice and Indy showing up to set up those teams. Sure.
Mm-hmm. August Gray's like, I know that he's like doing the retro AG stuff, but like it didn't look like they were setting up for him to continue that character at all.
It's a very weird fit that he's doing that while standing up to Tim Thatcher as like this guy who can kind of compete on a shooter level with Tim a little. And like, yeah, there's kind of like a cognitive dissonance there where he looks like a goof, but he's meant to be like a relatively competent fighter. It doesn't really make sense.
I appreciated Thatcher beating him with the move that he was teaching him.
Yeah, that's how you learn him. That's how you teach him a lesson.
Yeah. Yeah, Thatcher was good in this. Thatcher's good at beating up nerds.
Yes, this is a skill of his.
I also appreciate that Thatcher's NXT gimmick is like, guy who can beat up mid-card guys, but then anyone who is slightly above mid-card, he wants to back away from like a coward.
Yes, speaking of, Tommaso Ciampa's music hit after the match, and apparently the person that Ciampa is very upset about, Ciampa, who's been a heel lately, I think, but now is a babyface again?
No, he's beating up Dream. He was a face.
Oh, yeah, because he was the heel before that. Then he turned face to beat up Dream, and I guess he's still a babyface for now. But apparently the person that's bad in the locker room, the snake in the back, is Tim Thatcher.
I was like, no, Balor's segments later. What are you doing, Ciampa?
It was a weird one. I don't really get it.
Are they going to have like a number one contenders thing, and then Ciampa just beats him?
I guess. Ciampa's still in such a weird place on this show.
So is Thatcher.
That's true too.
I don't know, man. It's just the Thatcher stuff is so weird. Because like, I think Thatcher has taken the shit that they've given him and done actually pretty well with it.
Mm.
But they refuse to like give him any actual discernible real push.
Yeah.
That is like, hey, beats up a guy, then he loses to Bronson Reed, then he loses to Finn Balor in a non-title match.
He loses to Dexter Lumis.
He gets fucking tapped out by Dexter Lumis.
There is an era where if any of this mattered, like Dexter Lumis submitting Tim Thatcher would be one of those things we talk about for years and years as like a star ruining moment, but none of this matters, so it's just forgotten.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Thatcher and I wish he was being treated better.
We after the match, Ciampa was like, I would like to fight him.
But it doesn't make any sense. They even set up a Dexter Lumis thing with Thatcher.
That also basically went nowhere, yeah.
Like, he just one backs match away from people. That's his thing.
We had the second segment with Priest, Gargano, and Rowan. Who was Priest meant to face? This is the question I'll never get the answer to.
I'm just going to assume it's Bronson Reed, because it's always Bronson Reed.
William Regal visited Boa's house.
Okay. So, he said she's coming, right?
Yeah.
What? Who is it?
I don't know.
All right. Are they stupid enough?
Yes.
To pick someone who's Japanese?
It's gonna be like Scarlet.
Is it gonna be someone who's white?
I would not put it past them. But yes, in this segment, William Regal showed up to his house being like, hey, Boa, you haven't reported to the Performance Center in a week. And Boa's like, no, I can't. She's coming. I can't leave the house. He had like two black eyes. Looked like he hadn't slept in a week. And then Regal's like, where's Jaya been? It's like, she's hiding. She's in hiding. Leave me alone.
No,
and
she's dead. Door. We were aware.
Slammed the door in Regal's face.
Okay, so the way I see this, But you got like three options.
Okay.
It's either, because like, which prominent like Japanese females have they signed? Because I know it's not going to be anyone else. Sairi? But she's like a, like, I haven't seen any Sairi actually, so I don't know what her gimmick is, but I don't know if she fits that necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
It could be like one of the many Chinese recruits that they had, but that's a big spot, I feel, to put someone in from coming in.
But like, this could just be a manager role, though.
Or Siley gets a great Muta form.
Sure.
We get the great Siley.
She becomes the dragon.
She starts doing mist.
Clearly Maiko Satomura.
That would be so...
She has signed, hasn't she? Wasn't she reporting to NXT UK?
I don't know. I should be Maiko. Let's just... I don't fucking know anymore, man. Maiko... It should be Maiko just because she should come in and don't just beat Io.
Yeah. That would be a good feud, to be fair.
Mm. It'd be a good feud shrouded in, like, this weird, mystical...
Dragons marking people, Shifus.
Yeah. I don't know. Because I don't know who else it could be. If it was going to be a manager payer, if you think they'd just have it be the dude.
They said that he is apparently his master.
My big money is still that it's Lord Tensai.
There you go. She's coming, Tensai. Main event, Io Shirai defeated Rhea Ripley.
We got a big announcement first.
To retain, what's our big announcement?
NXT has obviously found out the reason AEW has been beating them week after week in the ratings.
Right.
No guest commentators. AEW does 50 guest commentators a show, and they have great ratings. Therefore, NXT needs to do guest commentators to get great ratings.
We had Jericho this week. We had Kingston. There was another one, wasn't there?
Miro.
So we had three on this week's show. So yeah, they're like, Kevin Owens, come on down.
But yeah, I hope like Kevin treats it like how CM Punk treated when he was commentating NXT.
And just slyly buried everything.
Yeah.
It's the way to go.
But yeah, Kevin Owens, maybe he'll just, because he was on War Games last time, maybe he'll just beat someone up and join a War Games team.
Maybe Kevin Owens will be the person that Bo is scared of.
Oh my god, what a twist. Maybe Kevin Owens will join Pat McAfee's stable.
Does that have a name yet? I don't think it does.
I think they're called the brand, aren't they? They're called, like, the Kings of NXT, is what all of their Twitter stuff is called.
It's unlike WWE not to beat that over my head, so...
It's like, they're either the Kings of NXT or they're the brand, because Pat's whole thing is the brand, right? So, I don't know.
Main event, Io Shirai defeated Rhea Ripley to retain the NXT Women's Championship. And remember when you were like, these matches have done nothing for me?
Yeah.
This match did nothing for me.
Ah, I was the opposite. I thought this was actually pretty good. I mean, I'm not, like, rushing to put it on the spreadsheet or anything, but
good
it was
main
fun. Rhea's ear ripped in half. That was fun.
Yeah, don't wear earrings while wrestling. It's a bad idea. Especially those
don't
kind of earrings.
Don't wear sketches while wrestling.
Yeah, you sent me a DM saying, don't wear stretchers, and my brain just read it as Skechers. And, like, lots of wrestlers wrestle in shoes. What's wrong with wrestling in Skechers? Mick Foley wrestled in Skechers. I was like, oh, wait, right, now I get what you mean.
But yeah, like, I always, like, every time I saw her wrestle, I'd always think, like, one day, shit's gonna go poorly. And it did.
And today was that day.
I like how they clearly realized they had, like, 5 minutes left on this show, because, like, Io's leaving and Finn just jumps in the ring.
And I thought they were, like, gonna, like, you know, do a little interaction, because she stopped at the top of the ramp, but nah, Finn just started talking.
Now Finn's like, ah, you did well.
Before he was interrupted by Pat McAfee, before Finn brought back up apparently an Undisputed Era, before William Regal announced War Games.
Did he announce War Games? I thought they were just beating each other up.
It was like a digital exclusive, I believe.
Because
I think they ran out of time.
War Games!
Because, yeah, I've definitely seen the video of announcing War Games, so it did happen. They just didn't apparently get it on their TV show.
Or on their network that they control.
It's an important part to miss, I'd imagine, but sure. As you pointed out, they were probably the one. Because, like, Io and Rhea Ripley went very long.
Yeah. Well, understandably.
Yeah, it's a big match.
It's, like, the biggest match they've had in a while.
They clearly Okada Marty'd it. And they had to rush the rest of the show together.
Hopefully, not too much.
Show of the week, Liam.
It would fit in NXT, eh? Hey, oh.
I think we go to Show of the Week.
I may have made myself change my mind.
I'm going to pick NXT.
Well, I could leave it up to the poll.
Well, the poll is 73-27 in favor of AEW, so you have the deciding vote this week, Liam.
What show did I have more fun watching? NXT was more consistent. AEW had higher highs.
I feel like we picked AEW apart a lot more, which is the reason I voted for NXT.
But there's stuff on AEW that I'll actually go back and rewatch.
Like what?
I'll probably watch that Top Flight Young Bucks match again. I've already watched that Hobbs turn a couple of times because it was done well. I will go with, what does my heart say? My heart says NXT.
Way, there was you earlier today on this show being like, oh, the problem with this show is that one of them's much better. And then you
that being
NXT.
Said, yeah, one of them is still much better consistently.
That is our show. We already did all the outro stuff at the start, so just go
you
back.
You didn't
and
pick your
back.
Match. Hey.
I'm also top flight Young Bucks.
Yeah, that match ruled. It was really cool seeing a young Motor City Machine Guns. They even had gear that looks like Motor City Machine Guns.
I think that will be a match that will be historically important, or at least I hope so.
I look forward to when the Motor City Machine Guns wrestle Bucks. Forbidden Door wide open on the ground.
Go back to the start to listen to the plugs. Thanks for listening, and bye-bye.
Yeah.
Got out very fast there, didn't I?